HMS Net Radio, Christian Ehrenhiders, 70s Punk and Beyond.
Disapproving the record company execs who said that that girl with the piano thing wouldn't catch on, Tori Amos first sprang to notice as a solo artist in 1992 with her album Little Earthquakes. Chart success with luscious piano singled like Crucify and Cornflake Girl followed, and she went on to explore everything from dance music, Professional Widow, to impenetrable Baroque, Boys for Pell, an outspoken artist who refused to make her sometimes abstract output more radio-friendly. By the mid-90s, Amos reached a statement with her label Atlantic before switching to Epic in 2002's Scarlet Walk. Featuring elastic funk grooves and grainy vaudevillian pop, her 10th studio album, American Doll Posse, was released in May. "Will some people be offended by the album's cover image of her holding a Bible and blood seeping down her legs?" Tori replied. "I'm a minister's daughter. I'm questioning how Jesus' teachings have been used. Right-wing America is not honest about why we went into this religious war, and they're still not being held accountable. Tori's songs of power are David Bowie's Queen Bitch and the Pretenders' Tattooed Love Boys." Within one of the most unlikely reformations in recent rock history is taking shape. The only ones Peter Parrott's completing the original lineup are drummer Mike Kelly and bassist Alan Mayer and guitarist John Perry. Though they might have no idea who the only ones are, millions have heard of them on the Vodafone ad, which 1978's rafflingly debauched, Another Girl, Another Planet. Formed in 1976 in time for punk, the already mature quartet arguably transcended it with their intelligent lyrics and melodic rocking, but after four LPs, they were derailed by drug use.
Try it, you feel alright. Got some green new brand of smokes. Chill your head and clear your throat. Keeps you young and so in touch. Cheap advertising, you're lying. But never gonna give me what I want. I said smooth talking, brainwashing. But never gonna give me what I need. Saves your soul and keeps you clean. It's recommended you spy a queen. Gotta improve your IQ, helping everything you do. It's economic, don't cost too much. They're advertising your life. try it, you feel alright. It's a great new brand of smokes, till your head and clears your throat. Keeps you young and so in touch.
According to a 2005 study by Cooperative Funeral Care, My Way is the most commonly played song at a British funeral. Whether it's Sinatra's version or Sid Vicious's cover says more about the deceased than any eulogy. The Sex Pistols recorded his version in 1978 for Julian Temple's Great Rock and Roll Swindle, swapping the sincerity of Sinatra's version for a snotty punk attitude. And strangely, he exemplified the spirit of the song. It became a funeral song for Vicious, too. It was issued as a single in July of 1979, 4 months after his heroin overdose in New York.
All right. Here it is. Again. And it's called... 1-2-X-U!
Saw you in a mag, kissing a man. Saw you in a mag, kissing a man. Saw you in a mag, kissing a man. Saw you in a mag, kissing a man, yeah! Saw you in a mag, kissing a man. Saw you in a mag, kissing a man. Smoking a fag, kissing a man. Saw you in a mag.
When Blondie emerged on the New York circuit in 1975, they were the darlings of the emerging punk scene, regulars at punk mecca CBGB's, Club 51, and Max's Kansas City, and contemporaries of Television, Richard Hell, and the Ramones et al. 2 years later, they did the unthinkable, defecting, if only briefly, to that diametrically opposed music style, disco. A shimmering track built on synthesizers and driving track bass, Heart of Glass was every bit a calculated move. Drummer Clem Burke later said that he was attempting to recreate the best of the Bee Gees hit Staying Alive. While its working title during the session for Parallel Lines album was the disco song. Accusations of selling out were ludicrous, given that the standpoint in the record label EMI, who were concerned that disco was on the way out and reluctant to release Heart of Glass as a single. In the event, the track became a transatlantic number one. Blondie had pulled off a neat trick, completing the transition from underground to mainstream with their cool intact.
Soul train, don't wanna get on board again. Had enough of disco soul, play the stuff to me the more. Enough, I've had enough, I've had enough. The fuck you stop.
Oh yeah.
The DJ man, have you got the right to blind me with your fashion lights? Music, wait, don't relate to me. Bamble shells of fantasy and love, and love.
How could a band that was so great and influential achieve so little fame when they were active? Wonders rock scholar Richie Uttenberger. His new book, White Light, White Heat, The Velvet Underground, Day by Day, is an impressive means to reflection on the conundrum of what could be the ultimate cult band. One of the new discoveries made was that the image of Lou Reed and John Cale's first band, The Primitives, also including experimental musician Tony Conrad on bass and drummer Walter DeMaria. It was taken by Reed's promoter pal, Bob Raguna, on New York's Upper East Side in early 1965. There, in the trunk of a Chevy Impala owned by Terry Phillips, who brought Lou to work at Pickwick Records, says Uttenberger, who says hearing a previously unknown Reed studio demo for Heroin from May 1965 in Raguna's car stereo was a highlight of writing the book. The Primitives only played for a month. They fizzled out, but as we know, Cale and Reed stayed together and formed this band. 45 years on, they still have much of a mystery. Graham Coxon is going back to Blur, who left in 2002, Child's Play in comparison. It would be Child's Play if Blur were ever anything other than a contrary, insane group, and I was anything other than contrary or an insane guitar player. Or at least I was throughout the 90s. I didn't make my job very easy. It was quite hard to play that stuff too. Maybe I'm just getting on. That's bloody divine. You can't get by playing post-punk music, no matter how great.
You just You are listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston, Texas.
I first heard Happy Sad when it came out in 1969. I was 17, 2 weeks out of high school, and I went straight to Kent State University in Ohio. The whole English invasion thing, plus James Brown and Hendrix, I soaked up already. I was a little pot-smoking virgin with my corncob pipe. Kent State was famously radical, and I was living away from my folks for the first time. I met Tim Buckley twice. The second time was when I interviewed him for the New Musical Express in the early 70s around London. I didn't have a work permit and was doing all this hand-to-mouth illegal stuff, so I thought I had no choice but to take the work, says Chrissy Hind. I never thought of myself as a writer, but they kept bugging me. They'd print pictures of me in the paper, and I didn't want to be known as a writer because I didn't feel like I was very good at it. Then one day they asked me to write a piece looking back at the Velvet Underground, and I thought, well, I don't want to be doing looking back pieces, so I quit. Taking up a job at Malcolm McLaren's Too Fast to Live, Too Young to Die, by now renamed Sex, Hind also split up with boyfriend Nick Kent after he gave her gonorrhea. He repaid her by turning up at the shop one day, removing his leather belt and whipping her with it, drawing blood while the rest of the shop cowered behind the counter. It didn't end there. One night in July 1976, the day before Mick Farren's Titanic piece was published in the New Musical Express, Kent was watching the Sex Pistols and the Damned playing at the 100 Club when he was approached by Sid Vicious. Vicious produced a cycle chain from his inside pocket and whipped Kent with it, spotting the walls of the 100 Club with the writer's blood before being wrestled to the ground by bouncers as Kent stumbled up the stairs of the club to street level. Malcolm McLaren, who failed to recruit Kent into the Sex Pistols, had instead decided to use the journalist as a vehicle for achieving some more press notoriety for his band. Chrissy Hind actually bought the bike chain that was used on Kent. In those 4 decades, Robin playing dulcet psych pop during an English eccentric whose great successes have been in America. But it hasn't been a lonely journey, balancing solo work with sorties as Egyptians. The story of the young fresh Hitchcock can identify. His loquacious wit makes him suspect in a world that reveres its rock savants. Somewhat marginalized cult. While accusations of whimsy and eccentricity gently rankle his peaceful demeanor, Hitchcock is sanguine, graceful, and about the shape of his career taken. I never expected to be on Top of the Pops, he smiles. I've outlasted it. His love of words, author whose works included Percy, a comic, the world's first penis implant, later made into a saucy 1971 comedy starring Hywel Bennett. Raymond also spurred Robin's love of music. Lots of skiffle and early rock and roll. I remember him bursting into the room with a transistor radio watching Fireball XL5 saying this. It was a watershed moment for Hitchcock. As I matured from 10 to 16, the Beatles went from Please Please Me to Abbey Road. The world transformed from black and white to color. And my molecular structure. When I was 13, instead of wanting to be Doctor Who, I now with curly hair and sunglasses. A friend at school taught me the rudiments of the guitar. And born of love of Shakespeare, Burroughs now to write the 15th song off Revolver. I absolutely had no top 40 smart. The bright, unfettered hippie in the golden age of albums. Roy Thompson, who never troubled the top 40, but major label deals. Soft boys from the embers of another local band, Dennis and the Experts. Just as punk was beginning, a magazine ad for a show at Covent Garden's Rock Garden. Sound is not so much. Underscoring how this artful, literate, and the taboo, Hitchcock sighs, the punks were turned off because we still had long hair, harmony, the single poise lamp. This was the track that really brought home to me the energy of punk more than God Save the Queen. I was and the anger and the ferocious energy, producing bands for Miles Copeland, John Cale, and the Illegal Label, and later IRS. I was able to learn to do things with very little. I watched Miles build Illegal everything. I said to him, I'm going to start a label. He said, don't do that. It will piss off my dad. He was a CIA officer. When I went back to live in America in 1977, and he had some fun. But bands like Squeeze were misleading in the way they were. And in New York, apart from the Ramones, of course, there weren't punk bands like in Britain. One of the strangest things was being hired to teach Joey Ramone ages The Wonderful Widow of 18 Springs. We got it down in increments, and it did great. One of Motley Hoople's more unlikely running buddies in the early 70s was demure singing-songwriter Lindsay DePaul, who did the Roll Away the Stone. She also gave guitarist Luther Grosvenor his alias, doing five together, she recalls, and we were all staying in a small hotel. Let me have it, which meant we all had to share a bathroom on the manager's car, which changed his mind. I ended up calling Luther Ariel Bender for the rest of the week. Named after the guitarist Turnbridge Wells, Brinsley Schwartz were one of the countless British rock hopefuls to merge at the tail end of the 60s.
You are listening to Christian Arnheiter 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston.
Arnheiter died at age 50 on December 22, 2002. Anniversary of his passing was commemorated at London's 100 Club, headlined by Glenn Matlesteins. Pre-Clash band housemate 70s Maida Hill squat scene that Strummer emerged from. Against a Strangler's ice cream van at the 95 Windsor's Festival, idly watched the 101 cram press conference for the Clash's Give 'Em Cinema Blue in Soho's Dean Street. Having hitchhiked around Europe, Udall met Strummer in 1974, newly arrived from his first brushes with rock and roll. He was still practicing guitar and wasn't confident about his voice, but soon became the driving force of the 101ers. What a dramatic transition over the summer of 1976 from pub rock greaser to punk initially baffled him and the 101ers. When he jumped ship, it seemed appalling because the 101ers had been self-governed, no managers, and now he had clash men. They vowed to never let happen to them. Martin Hannett, from an early age, science, interests he would carry on through his musical theory, gaining a chemistry degree from Manchester's UMIST, bass for Greasy Bear, before forming the backing band for John Cooper Clark, and in later years, Pauline Murray and Nico. Together with Tosh Ryan, he helped set up the Rabbit Dogs, styling himself Martin Zero. Spiral Scratch EP label run by the Buzzcocks manager Richard Boone. He produced Slaughter and the Dogs and then worked with Chris Saivi, later known as Frank Bottom, and his band The Freshies, before scoring a top three hit producing Graham Fellow's Jilted John in July 1970. Indeed, Hannah can be seen playing bass on Top of the Pops' performance of that song. Shortly afterwards, division for the first time. We'll be right back.
I'm saying don't mind. Has been ransacked, ski trails in the hall, a chicken has saying how do you the guard dog had been sorted out and absolutely shattered. And I slung out all of my junk. I told more time I want to buy a fire and a telephone now defunct. On a broken home.
Inspired by the Velvet Underground from the headline in Time Out, that read, Buzzcock, having made a pilgrimage to see the they resolved to stage the Sex Pistols in May. The concert has been immortalized into films, 24 Hour Party People and Control. Popularly believed to have been the wellspring for years of musical innovation that was the globally in punk and ultimately dance music culture. Among those who were definitely at the hook and Bernard Dickin, who went on to form Warsaw and then Joy Division and New Order. The Smiths, Mark E. Smith, later of The Fall, Mark Hucknall, later of Frantic Elephant, Simply Red, John the Postman, and photographer Ken Cummings and writer. When we inspired, bands formed, fanzines published, wardrobes overhauled, and the word about the spread.
My body like a lump of mud. Baby, cause she does good stuff to share.
He may be the most lauded for his time in the Velvet Underground, but some of John Cale's best work came in a decade that followed, but with a storm of drugs, booze, and fights raging, it took him to the edge of insanity. Infamous chicken incident in South London. On stage in Croydon, Cale pulled out a meat cleaver, decapitated the already dead fowl, and then tossed its head into the audience. Everyone was totally disgusted. Cale's drummer John Stefko, a vegetarian, walked off and quit, as did bassist Mike Visaglia. He had also become an A&R producer with Warner Brothers Records and had set up home in Los Angeles with his wife, Cynthia Wells, a.k.a. Miss Cindy from the Notorious. Something missing. Rock and roll.
sail away on a boat. Forgiven in the fall.
Thanks for listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond.